You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Carla Fox back to the show. Carla has spent many years as a shamanic practitioner in the Peruvian traditions. She has trained other practitioners in the United States and abroad in shamanic traditions and energy healing, and currently maintains her practice in Southwest Colorado. In March 2012, through the Monroe Institute, she discovered a new protocol which she calls quantum sphere healing. It has become the main healing modality that she uses with her clients today. Carla's focus of service has shifted into the quantum realms, higher dimensions, and alternate realities where so much more can be seen, known, and worked with during a healing session. In addition to offering quantum sphere healing sessions, she also gives workshops where anyone can learn how to use this new healing protocol. You can find Carla on her website at www.quantumstargate.com and her blog at www.thecarlafoxblog.blogspot.com. So let's welcome Carla back to the show now. Hi, Carla. How are you?
Oh, hi, Lance. Thank you for having me back. I've had a good response so far as people wanting to listen tonight, so I think it's going to be a great show.
Well, wonderful. Mainly, the interesting thing is you. I've been following your blog for some time, and you've been on the show a few times, creating paradigm shifts, and you're really going where very few people are exploring these days, and I think it would be interesting to find out how you are or what you're seeing as you journey out into the various dimensions.
Okay. Well, most of that involves altered states of consciousness, which allows me to get way out there. And I also have a group here that meets maybe once every 6 weeks where we take turns expanding and launching each other out as far as we can go and with intent. And so that's been very fruitful as far as bringing in information. And when we do that activity, we always set an intent. So my intent, for example, what happens after our DNA is gone, or what's going on in the center of the Milky Way galaxy, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I call it mapping, which is actually, it's just a way of retrieving information that's already out there, making it more clear. I write about it in the blog, and that kind of reinstalls it into the mass consciousness, so that other people either can read it or tap into it and remember, it's nothing new, but it's lost information. And so people can start to remember where to go when their time is finished in the earthly realms here.
Right. That does seem to be one of the things that creates problems, is that we are not really properly prepared at the moment of death. That is, we don't have
right.
a conscious death, and as a result, it's quite possible that we're making return journeys and having to redo things that are unnecessary. So you're mapping out the arenas that are beyond when we cross over. Is that correct?
Yes, right. And what to do. And we can talk about that now, how to prepare for death and what to do once you find yourself out of the body for the last time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's part of the mapping. That's actually why our launching group started, was to map the realms beyond death. And that's a traditional shamanic activity, too, because the shaman needs to lead the deceased away from the body and where they need to go. So becoming very intimately acquainted with where to go after we die. Although my hope is that people will start to, will get to the point where they know they're complete, they've dropped their baggage, they know their time is coming up, and I wouldn't call it suicide, but actually lift out of the body, and I'm assuming reaching down and cutting that silver cord and knowing exactly where they want to go from there. Instead of going through the whole, you know, grisly dying thing, you know, to do it consciously.
Right.
And maybe bodies will start disappearing, too.
Oh, that seems quite possible.
Yeah. I mean, at that moment, I think it's very possible, especially with the shifting of the DNA that we can talk about tonight, I think it's very possible to dissolve the body altogether. Yeah.
That would be my preference. Either that or, you know, converting it into a body of light that, you know, is
right.
beyond all the dimensions would be
right.
another possibility. But so let's go on with what you're talking about.
About the death process?
Yeah.
I always say that when you approach that time when you are going to be leaving for the last time, the ideal is to be at the top of your game, to be as healthy as possible, to have your life resolved, no issues dragging along behind you. And so that is kind of the opposite of the way people tend to die, you know, at the bottom of their game. We want to be at the top of our game at that point. Being in that state means we have what Robert Monroe always called escape velocity, meaning we have enough juice, enough rocket fuel to blast off and not come back. So that's the first, you know, to be in the best condition that you can be. Not always possible in today's world, but that should be the goal. The next step would be to be awake, aware, and conscious at the moment of death, meaning death would be easy. You'd slide out of your body. You wouldn't have an interruption in your consciousness. I've told people, clients and students many times, that if you are on morphine at the end, it actually drops your vibration down, keeps you in your body longer. And one of the things I do is work with earthbound spirits and getting them to move along. You're almost guaranteed to be an earthbound spirit if you are on morphine at the end. Although, you know, those circumstances, our death circumstances quite often are chosen before we're born. So people may not have much control over that unless they come up with a different type of pain medication.
They're coming up with stronger ones.
Yeah. You know, and in years past, especially over in the UK, everyone had a death garden. They had some hemlock in a little section of their garden. And at the time, because it's a water-loving plant, and it rains a lot over there. And so they knew how to remedy those kind of conditions with a little hemlock, maybe something else. And so we would call it assisted suicide. You know, and so they didn't have the morphine. They didn't go through all of that. But so ideal, and you can prepare for the moment of death, too, with your intent and the way you're living your life and working with your DNA, the way we will talk a little bit later in the show. But so you slide out of your body. You maintain your consciousness. Do not go to the light. So if a portal of light shows up, do not go there. That is the portal you go through. That is a dead end. It keeps you on the wheel of reincarnation.
Right. And, now, a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people are not aware of this because it's, you know, there's so many near-death experiences that have been brought back and documented that people describe. They go to the bright light and they see their family and all that, but that is all part of the cycle that keeps us going. In other words, that I have heard that that's part of the false light paradigm, and that the entities that control the reincarnation process project anything that they want. So once you go to that light, through the tunnel or however you get there, mm-hmm. then you're ushered back into another lifetime.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that's where you're milked of our energies, and we don't have a lot of choice once our memory is lost. You go through the loss of who we are, so it's a remembering process.
Yeah.
So this is a case where, like the movie, with a little TV set and the girl, don't go towards the light, Marianne.
Yeah.
So what? When we're in that state, let's say we retain our consciousness.
Yeah.
And what are we likely to see that are the other choices? I've heard there's a subtle light that also exists that's possible.
Well, I have, in fact, I revisited that realm earlier today, and I did write a post about this on my blog. You're floating in kind of a void,
okay.
And both times I've revisited this arena, I have seen what looks like large bubbles, I guess I could say, floating in various places off in the distance. And I believe those are the various synthetic realities created by religion, by various ET races, contained within the fourth dimension.
Mm.
And one could easily get sucked into one of those realities, too. So we don't want to go there. Now, unless someone has actually mapped their way out, I would say the best way to do it at that point is just strongly assert your intent to go home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you've already avoided staying in the fourth dimension on the cycle of reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
So home would be something different for everybody. For me, I do believe I'll be exiting this universe altogether.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, they may not even make it as far as the center of the Milky Way galaxy, which is the ninth dimension. But,
okay.
Before they go there, there is George calls it the Great Void. For me, it's been like a skin between the fourth and fifth dimension. There's a definite divider there that you have to make your way through. Now your higher self resides on the other side of this barrier. And so the last time I went through, my higher self actually opened up an opening in this void space or this barrier, and I could see my higher self on the other side. That might be what you're speaking of as the subtle light. Because it is a tear in this great void or this barrier that allows you to pass through and go up to the fifth dimension and beyond, if that's your path. And so escaping, let's say, the whole realm of the fourth dimension with the synthetic matrix and the AI and the, oh gosh, polarity and reincarnation and the rest of it. So you have to have enough juice, enough rocket fuel to pierce that void. Yeah. And then from there, I did a little mapping of dimensions 5 through 8, and it's a different energy system altogether. I think the main thing for people to keep in mind, if you are dealing with polarity, even if it appears to be a higher dimension, you're still in the illusion of the fourth dimension. So that is good, bad, black, white, evil, good, all those polarized seesaw issues. The binary system, ones and zeros, that's strictly a fourth dimensional deal. That's a perfect example of polarity.
Yes.
Yeah, and so the dimensions 5 through 8, everything is more spherical, more unified. There's no polarity, and it's like amoebas floating around. Or the way I wrote it in my blog, if you were looking at a herd of sheep up in the mountains, and they kind of go with the flow, and then they, you know, turn a different way and kind of oozing around. That's the way the energy moves in dimensions 5 through 8.
Okay.
And that is guided by intent, by consciousness. There's no competition, but energy will move, and I call it energetic osmosis. Energy will tend to move from an area where there's too much of it and just ooze over into an area where there's not enough of it. And so it's a constant flow kind of a thing. Now, you know, how we would be, I haven't spent much time in those realms because I usually go right up to the ninth dimension and then go on beyond that. How we would be there, you know, I'm sure I'll be investigating that more, but my sense for myself is that's not my final destination, but it may be for some people. So when they demand to go home, they may end up in those realms, which might be another star system altogether. It would still be within our galaxy. You know, so that's entirely up to the path that they've chosen. Then we hit the big energy, the center of the Milky Way galaxy. That's ninth dimensional, and that is where a lot of patterns are installed and created and harvested and looked at, and it's a huge, huge female womb area of creative energy. The Time Lords, for example, are in the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And so even though we experience time mostly fourth dimensionally, they are generating it from the center of the Milky Way galaxy, which is pretty cool. And I've been running into them for years without realizing that that's where they were located. And then, so on our way out, all the information and experiences that we've gathered gets absorbed from us, so to speak, for the use of the creative energy in the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and we pop out the backside into the 10th dimension, and at this point, everybody pretty much looks the same. It's almost like we are all orbs of light arranged in geometric patterns, almost like a grid, and then we start to coalesce into bigger and bigger orbs as we make our way to the exit point in the 12th dimension. And once we pop out there, we are in the multiverse. So we're looking at many universes once we pop out of our universe.
Okay, so the 10th, and then have you mapped out the 11th as well, or?
No, because that kind of looks, it's more the process of like vibration unifying with others of like vibration.
Okay.
And getting, you know, I hate to say bigger, but as we go up through the dimensions, everything is expanding. Everything is getting bigger.
That makes sense.
But it all follows the same patterning. So we just kind of coalesce, and we can become bigger and bigger and bigger, and then pop through the top of the universe.
And then we're outside of creation altogether. Is that correct?
Well, we're outside of this universe. I don't think creation ever stops.
Okay.
It just goes on and on and on.
And then, so beyond the 12th, you been able?
Yeah, I think at that point you have the choice to pop into a different universe altogether.
Okay.
I think there are universes based on mathematics, based on sound, based on color, based on, principles that, we could call it cosmic physics that we have no awareness of.
Right, right.
Or continuing on. Now, keep in mind the patterns just keep repeating. So at looking down at the multiverse, it looks almost like a big bunch of grapes. But as we go along, that multiverse coalesces into one larger, and I don't know what you'd call it, omniverse maybe, I don't know, that then from a perspective higher up, all the omniverses look like a bunch of grapes.
Wow.
So the same patterns repeat microcosm and macrocosm, and where it ends, I couldn't tell you at this point.
Wow.
I don't know if there is what we would call a source of all. I really don't know. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that I notice a lot of people focusing on is they're focusing on their destination being either 4D or 5D. Mm. And there's a lot of excitement about just making a jump to 5D. So to me, that's always seemed limited. And, you know, maybe that is where people would like to end up, but it isn't where I would like to be. You know, as the ultimate journey, if my friend Timothy J. Glenn seems to think that the everything up to 9D is an intergalactic matrix, and that until you actually leave 9D, you're not out of the matrix yet. So if we are indeed in a constructed matrix, that could all be contained within 4D, but and look like nine dimensions,
right.
Or it could be nine dimensions that are overlaid by false light and so on and so forth. But
right.
So however we choose to see it, it seems to me that just being happy with, you know, getting out of a sandbox and getting into a slightly larger sandbox, you know, pretty soon you're going to reach the edges of your sandbox and you're going to realize,
right.
Oh, wait a minute. This
right.
was fun for a minute, but now I'm stuck here for 26,000 or 100,000 years or whatever.
Right. And, you know, that the 5D, you know, getting out of 4D and into 5D is, that's been popular because that's probably the limit of what people can conceive of.
Right.
And that's, yeah, I mean, for them, that's freedom right there.
Right.
And yet, that's why I am writing my blog and bringing out the information to expose people to what lies beyond that. And certainly, there's going to be a bunch that will stay in the fifth dimension. The challenge is getting through that membrane or that great void to the fifth dimension. I mean, you got to be pretty clear and have dropped a lot of your baggage and have enough rocket fuel. To get up there. My sense is a lot of people may choose to rest in 5D before they move on.
Well, that's possible,
yeah.
Too, yes.
So for them, that might be an appropriate place. But people aren't journeying. Their consciousness is not journeying into these areas. And so... first of all, they're not getting the experience of what's out there. And second of all, the people who are describing what's out there, I have to wonder, how did they get their information?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
yeah,
I like to go there directly
and
look around. Yeah.
Well, that's what makes your work so different, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it as you said, it maps the way and gives us the possibility of seeing beyond what we think there is or what we're told there is. And so many people are waiting for somebody to tell them where they're supposed to go. I mean, this is the world where we're programmed, and it's a very intense program, and it's hard to break through the programming with so many different assaults on all these different levels. It's hard to break through the conditioning and the, you know, the... automatic programming that's going on to keep us conditioned into the same vibration that we're in already.
Yeah, and that's part of my mission with my students and my clients is to help them see beyond that and be self-empowered and make up their own mind. There are probably as many destinations as there are people on the planet, and so I hope that as one gets to that point where they're ready to exit or not, you know, they have an inkling of what their destination is, and it may not match up with anybody else.
Right, right. And then, of course, a lot of information is getting processed through the mind or the left brain,
Yeah.
And so it's just mental constructs and not actual journeying
experience
or creation or higher creative thought that is taking us out. It is just a mental construct talking about it. So
right.
That doesn't take us very far, I don't think, does it?
No. Well, and that's why I don't like to read a lot of other people's stuff.
You're right.
Because I don't want it to get me off track.
Right, right.
And it's so easy for people to get off track nowadays if they're running it through their mind and if they're not grounded and in their body and using their body consciousness as their barometer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because you can literally write a list of stuff on a piece of paper and you know, either read it or put your finger on it and see how your body feels, whether it's valid for you or not. But I'm finding as the acceleration continues, people are finding it very hard to stay in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they go up into the mind instead.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah.
And then the mind's a maze.
Yeah. Well, and the mind, you know, the mind is our tool. It's not our master. And the mind can jerk you around back and forth until you don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why it's important to have your radar working when you're accessing somebody else's information.
Absolutely, and some of the things that I've seen us take from the past, we've kind of inherited things that come from various Hindu teachings and other disciplines, and one of those is the chakra system.
Mm-hmm.
And George Kabathis, and I, he said to say hello to you, by the way. I talked to him a couple of days ago.
Oh, that's nice.
he's in good form.
Good.
He was the first one to alert me to the idea that the chakras were installations that are used for control, that they're they're not necessarily our friends. They can be used, and some people don't have them at all. So you've done a lot of work with that and with clearing out the chakras altogether.
Yeah.
And then you've also done some very innovative work with DNA, which I thought you might want to talk about as well.
Okay. Yeah. I'm coming up on my third anniversary without chakras, and
wow.
I noticed a definite difference after I removed them, and I think we covered that when we spoke last year.
Yes, we did.
I recommend it for everyone. And on my blog, I've got the whole, you know, the whole reasoning behind that. It segments our energy field. And when we are chopped up into pieces, we're easier to control than we are when we are one whole cohesive energy field.
Mm-hmm,
My next step after that was actually just 6 weeks after when my, you know, we all have a luminous energy field, and it's an egg of energy that surrounds our body, and it's got a skin on it. And interestingly enough, that skin is our personal border between our fourth dimension and our fifth dimension. And again, macrocosm and microcosm. It represents that great void between the fourth and fifth dimension, but it's our personal space. And mine, I was in Egypt in the Valley of the Kings, and it shattered like glass breaking, and I could hear it. And I saw the pieces of it flying off, and I just went into, you know, I had no clue as far as that could happen. I tracked that one, and that's what it was. And so that has removed my personal barrier between my fourth dimension and my fifth dimension. I do believe that when a person dies and cannot make it out of the fourth dimension, they're actually stuck in their own bubble, too. So that's the next step. Our group here, theirs have dissolved gradually. So I don't expect people's to be as dramatic as mine is. So that's the next step. And it's logical because the chakras are like screws that keep that luminous energy field skin screwed in around the body.
Huh.
Yeah. So once the chakras are gone, those screws are no longer there, and it's easy for that skin to dissolve. So that's the next step. But then the DNA. My sense is that, yes, at one point we might have had the 12-strand DNA matching the 12 dimensions, but I'm mainly concerned with the double helix that we have here. And all sentient life has DNA. So the patterning for the plants, the animals, the fish, the birds, the humans, mammals, the DNA creates that. So there was a purpose for DNA in the fourth dimension to create sentient life. This is another hijacked system where distortions, mutations, mechanisms of control, all that stuff has been installed in our DNA.
Okay.
And a year ago, when I was in Scotland, I was at a stone circle, and I was touching one of the stones, and my body started to spin. You know, when something odd like that happens, and I start tracking it, I look for, okay, what's going on? Where's it coming from? I went right into my pineal gland, where the master strand of the DNA is located, and it was spinning faster, faster, faster. The two strands merged into one strand, and then it's like that single strand folded in on itself and eventually became a ball of light, meaning it went fifth dimensional. And then that ball popped from my head right down into my core essence in my heart, which is the center of our fifth-dimensional energy field. It just popped right down there. So that was the big picture of what happens to our DNA. In the last few months, during some of the journeys, I saw a representation of the distortions and the mutations as black, like cubes, like black dice stuck on the double helix. And I saw that those cubes could be blasted off of the DNA. The best way for everyone to do that is to put the palm of your hand on your forehead and expand your core essence, which is your fifth dimensional energy field that's centered in the heart area, and run that higher dimensional energy up your arm, out your palm, and just blast your master strand of your DNA in your pineal gland. And this is actually George's method. Now, people who study with me learning the quantum sphere healing, they learn an alternate method of doing this. So that is the next step after that luminous. Actually, you can do it at the same time as we're assuming the luminous energy field starts to dissolve. Just keep blasting that master strand in the pineal gland. Now you can either give it just a general laser beam from your core essence. You can pick a theme that you know or suspect may be genetically inherited and choose to target that theme in your DNA. Or if you're perceptive, you can start sending that energy in and look to see what kind of images and pictures show up as far as what particular stream of your DNA is being cleared. We're not dissolving the DNA at this point. We're clearing the distortions off of it.
Okay, good.
Because once that DNA is dissolved, I don't think we have a body anymore at that point either.
Oh, okay.
Because our physicality is generated from the DNA.
That would make sense because all of these are the particles or the divisions and the switches that go on and off of the programming that creates what we are in the physical. So the reverse journey would be shutting down all of the fractured and fragmented aspects of ourselves and reunifying, mm-hmm. and rather than having going to 12 strands of DNA like some people suggest, mm-hmm. we're actually going in and we're taking it all in and folding it into itself, into the core essence. That makes much more sense.
Yes.
Then it does become further fragmented in a new universe that is operating with a 12-dimensional DNA. That's just more distraction and more stuff that you have to go out and find and collect and mm-hmm. be aware of, and then reorient it back into yourself.
Right. And again, you know, I just go with what shows up, and I write about it, and mm-hmm. that's part of the mapping process. But I had another interesting incident. Maybe 6 weeks ago, I was up hiking on a trail, and the spinning started again, and I could detect that these black cubes, so let's say they're symbolic of the distortions and the mutations, started just flying out of my head. And so that was a little bit wild.
I love it.
So that tells me that after a certain amount of working on it and bringing your awareness to it, the process will start up spontaneously on its own.
Wow.
And it'll start kicking that stuff out.
Well, I guess the Borg have left you.
Well, let's hope for the most part.
No, let's hope.
Well,
they're certainly all over here, aren't they?
Yeah, and I am convinced that once this whole process with the DNA is done, that this is what will generate people disappearing off the face of the planet.
Mm. Well, you know, how do you feel about the? Again, this is something that people are feeling that there is that this is a special time, and that the shift has not actually happened yet. That we're in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is there will be openings and changes that we will become aware of, which your work is helping us to prepare to meet. Mm-hmm. So, do you feel like that is something that's occurring within time space for us now, or could that be extended on into hundreds of years for other people to make that shift, or is it?
Yeah.
How do you see that now?
You know, it's a good question, and also one way of looking at it is it could be totally 100% an internal process,
mm-hmm.
meaning we may not know that this is going on with certain people, but I think once it starts to crank along, you're also looking at the 100th monkey effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still waiting to see. It feels to me like once you have a few people doing this, it's almost like dropping a pebble into a pond. You'll get that shock wave that goes out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that might trigger other people, but it's also going to trigger the beings who have been observing us, the positive and the negative, I would say.
Right, that's right.
And time-wise, I think it's probably going to start out pretty darn slowly, and then it will pick up speed, and I'm hoping become commonplace. But again, not everybody on the planet is going to transition in this way.
That's right.
There are plenty who will die and stay in the reincarnational system, or go to another 3D planet and continue their experience.
Mm.
It's kind of like the world is splitting. Do you get that sense, Lance? The splitting of the worlds. There are people who are moving upward and onward and doing their stuff, and then you go out into public and you're in the store or whatever, and you engage with people who don't have a clue.
Mm, right, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
One of the easiest way to tell is to look in the into the shopping cart.
Oh, that's a good one. I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't have to think too much if I see Diet Colas and alcohol and white bread and, you know, all that other stuff. Lots of
all
meat,
kinds of
barbecue.
Boxes,
and,
yeah, boxes of cereal and... Yeah, that's a good clue. Although that doesn't mean that people wouldn't be able to make the shift on a dime.
Right. That's right.
So we just don't know.
We don't know.
With all the talk about this wave of energy coming in, and thank you for sending me all those links. I looked at all of it, Lance. And
yes.
At this point, I don't know
what
to think about that.
I don't know either. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, after all these years of doing the show and going through years of waiting for 2012, and then you know, having it arrive, and it wasn't, you know, of course, what I thought it would be and what I expected, and then I set my guides a little bit differently, and I saw that, yes, it happened, but it's not what I expected. And so now what I see are various attempts or various things coming down the tubes, the pike, that are designed to stimulate us like a carrot. And one of them is the blue avians, or sphere beings are here, and they're here to help us, and then that will come and go. Then there will be another alliance, the Andromedan Alliance, they're here, and then that will be a big deal on all the, you know, the Facebook chats and all the different chat rooms. And the wave is now becoming a big thing. A few months ago or 6 months ago, it was the event. when I did the Galactic History videos, we talked about the event, and then Cobra made a big deal about the event, and everybody picked up on the event. Well, now you don't hear the word the event anymore. The thing is, outside of time and space in the quantum field, as you know, everything is now.
Yeah.
So it's we're stuck in linear time and duality, and we're looking at things as if they're being dribbled down to us from the future, and that's not how things occur.
Yeah.
So
well, and also outside of linear time, where, as you just said, everything is in the now, if we translate that back to linear time, I firmly believe our future informs our present.
Yes.
And that's how people can tap into upcoming events, because they're also hooked into everything happening all at the same time.
Yes.
And so if this wave or whatever it is heading our way, it's not going to be a surprise. I think people will be tapping into it ahead of time, because that's just how time goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But with the information from the various sources you sent me, I don't know where these people are getting this stuff. Is it their direct experience? Is it channeled? Is it their mind creating something out of maybe not much of anything? So that it's such a mixed bag at this point, Lance.
Well, and there's so much mind control going on, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the Matrix and the people who run this this circus here, which is, you know, people say that it's 1% of the population. Well, lately I've had information come to me that it's 1% of the 1%. So you're talking about a few hundred people are really responsible for everything that tumbles down from the, you know, from the pyramid. So, and it's to their advantage that we remain entrapped in ideas and in fear and in some future events. So there's a lot of mind control going on. We can't even, if we knew how much there was, we'd be absolutely astonished. So that's why it's so important to clear the mind and to know your mind and to move out of the mind.
Right. And several years ago, actually at a class at the Monroe Institute during one of their journeys, my guidance was clear to not engage, because you can't fight your way out of this.
That's
you
right.
Just give it power. To instead know who you are, do your best to put one foot in front of the next, and kind of skirt your way around all of this when the time comes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, because otherwise, when you step on the banana peel, it can be pretty slippery, and all of these causes are most likely valid and accurate, and there are hundreds of thousands of them that you can get embroiled in, and that's the way that we get trapped in the matrix, is we get embroiled in, and then the more we resist what we perceive is actually going on, the more that persists. We give it the reality by focusing our attention on it.
Yes. And so, in that respect, we may not be as trapped as we suspect we are.
Right, right.
Because we have to realize we're in charge.
That's
of
right.
us. You know, it starts
That's
with
right.
the individual. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is lifestyle choices, what you're willing to engage in. And I'm not saying a guy living in a cabin in the woods isn't subject to the matrix stuff either, but we have to make conscious choices with all of this too. Yeah.
Well, it certainly seems that technology is ramping up, and we haven't even begun to see it implemented at our level yet. And, of course, the technology that we're familiar with is probably 100 years behind the times, because we haven't been given the technology that exists parallel with ours, and it's not likely to ever happen. So
right. But keep in mind, for example, if people are required to have a chip put in their body somewhere, you can energetically dismantle that. If you are of a vibration and clarity, the chip would have a consciousness. You can dialogue with the consciousness of the chip. I had to get a yellow fever shot this summer, and I dismantled that energy. And what was interesting about that was it was the being that was the, because it was somewhat disabled, live, I don't know what you would call it, live yellow fever virus, had a consciousness.
Wow.
And I was able to speak to it, but it was like, it sounded like it was inside a metal box, you know, that kind of reverberation sound.
Uh-huh, yes.
So the vaccine was the organic virus that was yellow fever that had been tinkered with this synthetic overlay.
Wow.
It was really wild.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to have a chat with it. I was driving in my car over to where I was going to get the vaccination, and by the time I got there, it was totally disabled, and it was like just getting an injection of water.
Huh.
Yeah. So we have to remember, we can dialogue with a chip or a energy flow of some kind, or our credit card, or anything that's got some consciousness, we can work with that.
What about the nanobots, nanotechnology?
Oh, yeah, sure, you can do the same thing with that, too.
Interesting.
Yeah, if it's got consciousness, you can work with it.
Wow. Well, now, what are some of the places, what are some of the experiences that your group is having that you think might contribute to our ability to exit the matrix and to think a little bit more outside the box of 4D5D?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we're going to be meeting again next Sunday, so I might have something to write about.
Oh, good.
Each person does their own journey. It's the launchers. Each person does their own journey, and I generally write maybe a little bit about theirs, but a lot about mine. But it seems like as we go along, we've been at it for maybe 3 years already, at least, we create enough of a group consciousness where we each bring a puzzle piece in, and we compare notes, and we tap into the other person's journey and just kind of fit it all together in a package at the end. It's really fascinating.
Mm. I wish I lived closer. I'd join you guys.
Yeah, I have a lot of people who would like to join us.
Right.
Yeah. But, yes, this is, again, you know, quite often I'll write the blog, and then the next day I don't have a clue what I wrote down. It's like it comes out of me. It's on paper, on, you know, on the site, and I just move on from there. But we have been gradually, as the months and several years go by, tapping into higher and higher levels of information, and I do write about it. So that stuff gets out into the mass consciousness, too.
Wonderful, because that's important, and even just reading your blog opens doors, so because the information goes in, and once it's there, mm-hmm. it does its work.
Yep.
You're going to be, approaching the end of the hour. We're not at the end yet,
yeah.
But I wanted to make sure that we talked about your workshop in Cortez and what you'll be doing there.
Okay.
That's coming up on October 16th and 18th. Would you like to share a little bit about that experience?
Sure. So people, and all my sites are listed on, you listed them on your site there, Lance, so people can get to them from getting to afiresidechat.com. But if they go to my website, quantumstargate.com, there's a section where they can look at the healing work, and then yes, I am offering a level one quantum sphere healing training, October 16th to the 18th, 9 to 6 each day here in Cortez. And they will learn the basics on how to do the quantum sphere healing, which is what I do in my healing practice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to do a level two, an advanced level, next spring if I have enough people. So if they're interested, I already have several people signed up for the workshop. If they're interested, they should get a hold of me pretty soon. And then, of course, we've talked about my blog and then my book, Traversing the Infinite Now. That link is on yours if they want to order my book. It's more of a workbook on practical, everyday ways of moving through your stuff. But of course,
it's wonderful.
Oh, good,
yeah,
good.
It is so practical. I mean, it is just, it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, and there's no excess fluff and all that. It's so simple.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it takes you through, and it's a good way to do the clearing that you talked about earlier.
Right.
In the preparation for death, well, this gives you a great idea,
right.
You know, of
right.
how to take the steps to do that.
Yes. So, but the most exciting news is I have just joined the Rise Multiversity Organization as a mentor.
Wonderful. That's with Georgia Kavassalis.
George is on there, yes.
And Morgan is on there, I think.
Yes, she is also. And Kelly Lachey. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, yeah, some of my most favorite people.
That's good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and so I'm going to be doing online workshops for them. The first one is August 29th. That's a Saturday. It's 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And it's going to be a two-hour workshop. The first part will be teaching. Then I will lead people through some guided exercises, and then it'll be question and answer at the end.
Great. Wonderful.
And the first topic is going to be grounding and working with your inner baby and how to stay in your body, which is the biggest foundational piece that people need nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's and so as guided, there will be more workshops, and that will be more preparing people for taking them a step beyond what I have in the book. And
and you can do it from your home.
Yes. So it'll be online, and the program that they use will accommodate 25 people's faces on the screen.
Mm, good.
So I can, you know, we get to look at people's faces, and then, of course, the guided journeys. Everyone will be, you know, wherever they're comfortable, and we'll just see how that works. So I'll be able to hold the space for who knows how many people and guide them through processes that will help keep them on the right track. And the processes that we'll be working with, quite a few of them are what I give my clients as homework, too. mm-hmm. after a session. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, great.
Yeah.
And today is the is August 8th, the 8th Gateway. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why it's personal to you?
Oh, 8th, yeah. August is an 8 month.
Right.
It's the 8th day. We started at 8 p.m. my time. And 2015 is an 8 year.
Right.
My license plate on my car is 888-HDX. H is also numerologically an 8. So today matched up with my license plate.
Wow.
Eight is a financial number.
Huh.
Ooh. A very good day today for anybody starting new financial ventures.
Wow.
I've had offers for people to buy my license plates off of me, too. Because of the, yeah. Because it's,
wow.
So I thought it was, and eight is significant for me in, you know, other ways as far as addresses where I've lived and my personal numerology. So it's very powerful and supportive day for me today numerologically.
Yeah. Wow. And, of course, the Lion's Gate has been floating around the awareness of the groups of Facebook and so on and so forth.
Mm.
The 888 Lions Gate opening
okay,
up.
Okay,
so
yes.
That's supposed to be quite special, and
okay.
And we just roared. We had our roar.
We did. Yeah, so again, no accidents, no coincidences, Lance.
Absolutely.
It was meant to be today.
Absolutely. It's so wonderful how it's worked out, and I want to thank you for coming on tonight, and also for, you know, keeping me inspired with your blog and keeping me thinking outside the box, and, you know, because there's so much of a consensus reality that is pushing something that is, you know, common to everybody, and sometimes I get lost in that fray, and mm-hmm. I have to remember that, no, there's more, and I keep going further, and so you have been doing that with me. And I appreciate that so much, and I appreciate you coming back to share your journeys and insights and wisdom.
Well, I'm glad we could make it work here today, Lance, and it's always just a delight to talk to you. As I emailed you, we're probably from the same soul group or some similar concept to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe when we pop out of the 12th, we'll recognize each other.
Yeah. Sure.
You're that little bundle of grapes over there, and I'm the other grapes on the other side.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't
Maybe
know.
We can create our own grape, Lance.
There you go.
All
well,
righty.
Thanks so much, Carla. I really appreciate you. And well, that's the end of the hour, so
okay.
We'll just say goodnight.
All right, and thanks again, Lance. It was a pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure's mine. Thanks a million.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.